SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level two. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're breaking it down. Countdown to tee off is on. We got the tee times here for you. 8 a.m. Eastern. Jose Maria Lazabal and JJ Big Head Spawn. So Cam, you was talking about JJ's large head. He tees off. Big Head tees off at 8 a.m.
11 Big Head's a dangerous player. He's good.
8:11 a.m. Mike Weir.
Yes.
Ooh. Patrick Harrington. And what a great name. Austin Greaser. Amateur.
Yeah, the Greaser. Yeah, he's the amateur, the grease man. That's my retirement grease.
My retirement grease. Austin Greaser.
The Greaser. Yeah, excellent.
What school did he go to?
I think where school did Greaser go to?
Did he go to I think he might have gone to an SEC. He might have, Georgia? I'm trying to think where Greaser went to school.
Austin Greaser?
Yeah, Greaser.
Sounds like an SEC type of name.
Yeah, Greaser.
Austin Greaser.
Not sure if he went to Texas. A lot of Texas players there. Greaser.
Oh, no. You know, it's funny how these things come in waves. North Carolina. Chapel Hill.
Oh, wow. North Carolina. You don't find many Tar Heel golfers. Interesting.
And he advanced to the, he made it to the 121st amateur at Oakmont. Right. It looks like he's got a pretty good resume here.
Yeah, Greaser's
all right,
good.
So I'm just trying to set this up a little bit. Tee times. All right. Larry Mize, Sepp Straka, Molinari, 822. Freddie Couples, 8:33 a.m. Garrett Hegel and Migalazzi. Here's our boy, VJ.
Oh, yeah, Guido.
Yeah, Guido. I used to have a bookie named Guido.
yeah, really?
Yeah. No, really? Be careful with Couples. He's got a back issue coming into this tournament. So.
No, I'm dead serious.
What, you're saying we're betting him? I'm betting Fred?
Oh, Fred Couples has a back issue, did you just say, Babano?
He's always had a back issue for 40 years.
He's had a back issue since 1982.
I know.
Back issue? He's 80 years old.
Exacerbated back issue this time. I don't know. That's what the golf guy told me.
Thanks for the engineer. The golf guy told Fred Couples.
Well, I got fade him in three balls.
Yeah, Garrett Hegel. No. He's taking him.
I swear to God. People there, I'm laughing about the. I swear, there was two bookies. One of the guys' name was Costa, and the other guy was Luigi.
Oh, Luigi was
and,
my brother.
Yeah. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Just reminiscing about some dudes I used to know. I gotta tell you too, a dude I knew, Guido. He was mean too. He was the meaner one. It's like good cop, bad cop.
That's an excellent point. Good point.
He was the meaner one.
You're right. I know two Guidos, and they're
both
mean.
If your name's Guido, you have to be mean. You have to be mean.
Luigi was nice, though. Like, I met two Luigis. Luigi's actually a great guy. Like, yeah, you're right. Good cop, bad cop. Guido's the bad cop. Luigi's the good cop, for sure.
VJ, pretty woman, Sing tees off at 8:44 a.m.
Pretty
well. Might as well addict it. Ryan Palmer. Yes. K.H. Lee at 8:55. Minwoo Lee, Hudson Swafford, and Cameron Hello. Young. Hello. Stuart Sink, Brian Harmon, Harry Higgs. That's 9:06. Zach Johnson, Siwoo Kim, Aaron Jarvis, 9:30. Nine L List, M Wolf, M Hughes, Mackenzie Hughes. It's an interesting group there. Luke List, Matthew Wolf, and Mackenzie Hughes. Danny Willett. Here's our boy Cam. Oh, they're together, Cam. It's pretty cool. Jason Kokrak and the Gooch are playing together.
Ooh, that's a great
Kokrak, the Gooch, and Danny Willett. 10:01 a.m.
guys.
Eastern. That's Max Homa, Kevin Na, Shane Lowry. 10:12 a.m. Kevin Kisner, Daniel Berger, Tommy Fleetwood. 10:23, Bryson, Cam Smith, Paul Casey. 10:34 is when the tournament starts for everybody. Tiger Woods, Louis Oosthuizen, and Joaquin Niemann. And, man, the crowd's going to be crazy. Tiger had a joke the other day about that during his practice round. They said, Tiger, were you surprised to see as many people watch your practice round today? And without missing a beat, he goes, no. Freddie Couples is a legend. I'm not surprised they want to see him play. Because Tiger played with Fred, right? It was pretty funny. Hey, Freddie is a legend. Freddie is. So 10:34, Tiger, Louie, Joaquin Niemann, the defending champ, Hideki. 10:45, Justin Thomas. James Piot, amateur. Adam Scott's one of my plays. I'll share my plays on the other side. We'll get Cam out of here in a couple of minutes. We'll recap his picks, his best bets at least, his top 36 on the way out. Bring it.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Yes, it is true. Bob is enjoying the buffet at the Fuzzy Grape right now, Kyle. That is true. Bob's enjoying the all you can eat late night buffet in New England right now. All right, so let me share my golf picks, and Cam approves of a lot of these picks. And for those of you tuning in, we put some work into this. A lot of plus money options here. Let's start off with Tiger Woods to make the cut. We've talked about it a lot. He's played in 23 Masters. He's made the cut 22 times. The only time he didn't make the cut was in 1996 when he was an amateur. So I believe that Tiger Woods will make the cut. I like it at plus money. John Rahm, no betting favorite, has won the Masters since Tiger in 2005, but Rahm has four top tens in his last four trips to Augusta. You're getting this at plus 110. That's nice plus money. John Rahm, top 10, last four trips to Augusta. He has finished in the top 10. Top 10, Brooks Koepka. Got to get a piece of Brooks Koepka as well here in the top 10. This guy's a top 10 machine. 12 top 10s in his last 16 majors for Brooks Koepka. Tony Finau, not in the best current form right now, but guys that play well at Augusta, repeatedly play well at Augusta. He's finished in the top 10 here at Augusta in three of his last four trips. You can get that at a nice plus 450. I'm a little bit more confident in the top 20, but if you want to get push it a little bit, sprinkle on both of them there. Siwoo Kim has finished in the top 25 in two of the last three Masters. He's made the cut here in four straight times. So he plays pretty well here, actually, Siwoo Kim. So I'm going to squeeze Siwoo Kim into the top 20 here at plus 170. Corey Connors, top 20. Got to get a piece of Corey Connors here. And we talked about this on the show earlier tonight, guys. Highest green and regulation percentage at the Masters over the last 4 years. Number one is Justin Thomas, 72.9%. Well, people think Justin Thomas can win. He's the second choice after John Rahm. Tiger Woods. Well, Tiger Woods has won here five times. Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's won here. Corey Connor, 71.3. Our boy Louis Cam, 69.8%, and Jordan Spieth, 69.8%. So we know how good. Look at all these guys are like legends here. And we're getting Corey Connors, who puts up the same numbers, at least in green and regulation on this course, 50-1, Cam, 71.3%. That's right there with DJ, Tiger, and Justin Thomas.
Yeah, you have to bet Corey Connors top 20. I'd put him in the top 10. I have him outright too. Guys, I'm telling you, like, I watch a lot of golf, and Corey Connors and people, guys on the tour rave about him. He is so good at ball striking. His iron play is like some of the best. Gabe, if he could just learn how to hit like some 6 and 7 foot putts, and that's what it takes in the Masters. When Mike Weir won, lots of par putts to save a round. That's what Corey Connors needs to do. But at 50-1, he has to be played. I definitely love him for top 10s and 20s. Sprinkle time. Let's go.
So the guy that I have to win is Xander at 24-1. Here's an interesting stat from the Masters. Last 3 years at the Masters, most birdies or better. Xander Schauffele, 64. Patrick Reed, 56. Bryson, 53. Webb Simpson, 53. Guys, Xander's finished second and third here before. He's knocking on the door. Now all he needs to do is just, you know, enter. If you got to break and enter, break and enter. Do what you got to do, Xander. But I think he gets it done. 24-1. Xander Shifley's my pick. And then I'm taking Corey Connors at 50-1 and Adam Scott at 55-1. Those are my picks, Cam. So to win, Xander 24-1. To win, Corey 50-1. To win, Adam Scott 55-1. Tiger Woods to make the cut. Corey Connors, top 20. Siwoo Kim, top 20. Tony Finn, top 20. Xander Schauffele, top 20. Brooks Koepka, top 10. John Rahm, top 10. And will there be a hole-in-one? Yes, minus 163. Those are my Masters picks, Cam.
I love them. And I'll tell you something. I love Schauffele. I made a decision. My two top guys were going to be Koepka and Schauffele, and I went with Koepka. I think you got to bet Schauffele top 10, and I think you have to bet him top 20, because if he doesn't win, he's going to be right there. Guys, I want to give one more thing before I go. We like to have fun with the Masters. This is a parlay that FanDuel offered at 34-1, and I think it's a really good parlay. I actually think I love three legs of it. It's Cam Smith top Aussie, Siwoo Kim top Asian, Corey Connors top Canadian, and Brian Harman top lefty, 34-1. If Harman can beat Robert McIntyre, who I do like, and Bubba Watson and Mike Weir, that parlay has a great chance. Gabe, it's 34-1. That's like picking a guy to win the tournament, and I think a lot of those things can happen. So have fun with that one. Put $20 on it. Hey, you try to win like $700 on a $20 bet. It's fun.
I like where you're going with that, Cam. And don't forget, you've got a couple hours as well, although I don't think this is as high on your priority list as getting Major League Baseball futures in. Season starts tomorrow. Although, a lot of teams only start on Friday, so it gives people an extra day, actually. Like a Blue Jays.
I've already looked at the card. I looked at the card with Vizeen Vince tonight. We're going to try to narrow down a couple dogs. He's all excited about it. We already put the Blue Jay futures in. And I know this one's crazy, Gabe, and people are laughing, but one of my underdog picks, I like two loser teams to do well this year, the Detroit Tigers over their win total and the Miami Marlins over their win total. I think both are flying under the radar.
Well, the Detroit Tigers, I wouldn't say are losers. They're an up-and-coming organization. Everyone in the media loves them. Man, every one of our guests has been on the show, which is, Detroit. Yeah. Guys from Fangraphs think the Tigers can make the playoffs. I think that might be a little bit ambitious, but let's remember they added another playoff spot this year. So now there's three teams to make the playoffs now as wild cards. So it really opens the door for one of these mediocre teams to get in. But Detroit are on the uptip. I like them. They're 77.5 the win total. I like it. The Marlins or whatever, I'm not overly sold or against them, but I'm not going to play it. I've got like 10 baseball futures, and I want to get more in. I don't think we can possibly find enough money to bet the Cleveland Guardians enough to the under. There's no way in hell that they get to 77 wins, that team. It's not happening.
You got any futures?
You mentioned Cleveland struggling. I like Detroit as an over in that division. I made a lot of money in the second half of the season with the Tigers last year. I think they bring in Rodriguez from Erod from Boston. I actually think he's going to do well. Get him out of the AL East. Get him into a more pitcher-friendly park, lesser, weaker lineups to face. They're raving about Tarek Skubal, the lefty here in spring training. He's looked awesome. I think they made some nice additions to the lineup a little bit, maybe a little better on defense as well. I think the Tigers, they showed you a little something in the second half last year. I think they parlay that into a better all-around season this year. So I'm going to go over their win total in the high 70s.
77.5. As I just said.
The problem is we all like the Tigers. That's a recipe for disaster. Like,
I'm not loving them.
Yeah.
I'm not loving them. They're all right. You know what I mean? But
I'm
like,
telling them to be great. Just go there and be close to 500. That'll make me happy.
The thing is, Cleveland will be worse, and Detroit are a little bit better. Like they were 37 and 34 last year to end the season. But they were like 9-24 to start the year, and then they were like 7 games over 500. We talked about them earlier in the week. They were like 7 games over 500, I think, from June on. 37-34 in their last 71 games. They were so they've showed a tendency that they can win games, and they are better now. They've added people to that lineup, and they won 77 exact games last year, and it's 77 this year. So it does make sense that they would creep over that number. I don't know about making the playoffs, but all right, Cam, get some rest. I'll call you at 8 a.m. so you're up for the Gary Player.
Four?
Come on, it's Gary Player, buddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This lady says I'm an early.
You? An artist?
Your husband's work is what we call outsider art. It could be by a mental patient, or a hillbilly, or a chimpanzee.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Thanks to Cam Stewart for kicking with us. We got Babano for a couple more moments. Taking a look at the NHL right now. We didn't get to the pucks. There's a little something of everything tonight in the NHL. It was a chalk-heavy night tonight in the association, although the Phoenix Suns somehow covered against the Clippers, man. The Clippers were up by like 30 or 28 or whatever the hell it was. Like, they were up massively. But they took the pedal off the metal late in a garbage time game, and it's been a garbage time week, actually. Tomorrow night is a very good night in the NBA, but it's been a clown show for the last couple of weeks. It's been a debacle, and tonight was the epitome of the debacleness of this league. But look at the NHL tonight. The Winnipeg Jets, Babano, they were big favorites. They lose to the Detroit Red Wings. And a baffling team, Vancouver. Just when you think Vancouver are done, and they are done, but they show some life. And it's what they do, the Vancouver Canucks. One thing about the Vancouver Canucks, I've said it before, they're better on the road. Like, they don't have a good, distinct home ice advantage. People in Vancouver don't like them. Like, people in Vancouver are fed up, think they're soft, and are like, it's not like they don't have a good time going into the building. You'll notice they step up with these wins, but they're done anyways as far as the playoffs are concerned. But I didn't bet at Babano, but I sort of had a feeling that I was like, you know, they kind of are screwed anyway, so they have nothing to lose. And I also think it was Vegas wearing those gold helmets. You're not Notre Dame. That's way too much. But who'd you have in that game? Did you bet this game?
No, I thought Vegas was going to win. I didn't take Vegas because it felt like a last stand for Vancouver because they lost to Vegas at home Sunday night and they got them in the return match tonight. And if they had lost tonight to Vegas, they would have been, 10 points behind Vegas at that point. They definitely would have been done. But credit to them. They fell behind early, 1-0, and then they got the last two goals late in the first period, and then they never looked back from that point. Demko was solid in net. It was a great road game. And they are only 6 points. points back of Vegas, but the problem is Vegas no longer has the last spot. Dallas does, and they have 83 points. So Vancouver's 7 back of the Dallas Stars, who have that second and final wild card spot. It's an uphill battle. Like, they've got, what, 12 games left? They got to go 9-3, 10-2 minimum just to have a chance. It's probably not going to happen, but at least if they lose tonight, they're definitely out. But they won, so there's still a puncher's chance, but a lot of work to do.
Yeah, they live to fight another day. But the problem is,
exactly,
it's hard to catch and climb the ladder and leapfrog teams in the NHL that are ahead of you, because they can go to overtime and get a point, right? And they get a point, and then suddenly it's very, very difficult. But let's get into it right now. Looking at the overnight, there's an interesting card tomorrow, some interesting games. The Rangers have been Rangers were good. They struggled a little bit, but they're starting to get back on track right now, the Rangers. They get the Pittsburgh Penguins, hosting the Penguins. This game is essentially a pick 'em here right now. It's like -110 or whatever. What do you think about the Penguins and the Rangers, Babano?
So the Rangers have owned Pittsburgh now lately. I mean, they played each other, I think, twice in less than a week, and the Rangers won both games. They beat them 5-1, and then in Pittsburgh, they beat them again 3-2. So this is now Pittsburgh looking to avenge two back-to-back. Now, I still like the way the Rangers are playing. They lost three in a row, and they snapped the losing streak with what Gerard Gallant said was one of their best overall team defensive games in a while against New Jersey. Now, I know it was against New Jersey, but still, 3-1. They didn't have Shesterkin that night. They had Georgiev in that instead, and they said it was a terrific game. It's the way we got to play come playoff time if we're going to have success. So, you know, it's easy to say, hey, Pittsburgh's lost two to the Rangers. They want this one. They're going to get it, but they've had a tough time matching up with the Rangers, and you know you'll probably get Shesterkin here for this matchup. And, you know, you got the Rangers at home, and they're a slight home dog now with the money coming in on Pittsburgh right now in the overnight hours. So I think from a value standpoint, it looks to me like there's some value on the Rangers here.
As Babano said, they played March 25th and March 29th. The Rangers won 5-1, and then they won 3-2 in a home-and-home. And these guys are destined, sort of like the Leafs and the Lightning. These guys are destined to play each other in the playoffs. This has been a matchup all along, and this is still the same matchup. So it's always interesting when you get teams. To me, and, you know, look, what's the total? It's 5.5. So it's hard to run to the, you know, it's hard to say, oh, I want to bet an under 5.5. But it will be a playoff style game, guys, because they are playing each other in the playoffs. There'll be some intensity here in this game. Well, the playoffs and Canadians don't go hand in hand, Babano. Canadians are a weird team, bro. Like, they're, I guess you bet their overs and take the Canadians and hope for the best in these spots. But what do you think of the Montreal Canadiens and the Devils? Are you going to be betting this game? Devils -164 right now, total 6.5.
They've actually played pretty good on the road lately, Montreal. That's where more of their wins have come lately. They beat Tampa on the road over the weekend. They return home and they lay an egg against Ottawa the other night. But the one thing that hasn't changed is Montreal games are going over the total again. The Tampa game flew over the total. The Ottawa game flew over the total. There's no defense being played by the New Jersey Devils these days. I don't know if Jack Hughes will play. He didn't play the other night against the Rangers. That does hurt them a little offensively. That's another thing. A lot of these New Jersey games have gone over because not only have they been horrible defensively, horrible with their goaltending, but they've at least had an ability to score goals. First game without Hughes, they only score one goal against a backup goalie for the New York Rangers. So you do get worried they get stagnant offensively without Hughes, but I still think we can get over that total, 6.5. It's two teams I would only be looking to bet an over with right now.
Yeah, I agree, and especially at this time of the year, we see it in the NBA and we see it in the National Hockey League as well. It's funny because people always think, oh, the NHL and the NBA are so different. No, there's a lot of the same traits and patterns, trust me. And one of them is, too, if both teams are out of it, they don't have any reason to clamp down and play defense. All right? Players are playing for contracts. Players are, they make money. They all have, like, oh, if I score 20 goals, I'm making an extra $100K. All right? So trust me, if a guy's at 17 or 18 goals at this time of the year, he doesn't care about what the record is. All he cares about is, like, I got to score a couple of more goals because I make another 250K or whatever. I've got benchmarks, and they all know it. So all teammates, they all talk about this stuff. And don't forget that most of the players are all buddies across the league and stuff. So they'll, oh, no, listen, man, I'm making 250. Dinner's on me. Just stay out of my way. I mean, it's not a coincidence. If you look, Babano, in the NBA, every night, bro, people are breaking records and stuff. But I saw a stat. I can get the exact number up here. But how many hat tricks have there been recently? It's not a coincidence that suddenly everyone's scoring a bunch of goals and there's all these hat tricks and stuff. Guys are like, no, I've got, look at like Matthews. He was hell-bent on getting a 50 and he did, right? And he has. And now he's going to be hell-bent on padding that right now. You get other guys with different numbers and stuff. So I'm just saying, I agree. Like the game like the Canadians and the Devils, it's a shooting gallery, man. No, the coaches ain't yelling at people to play defense and stuff. So I'd be looking at the over there. Buffalo! And Carolina, don't look now, but Buffalo haven't sucked over the last week and a half or so of a battle. But I don't need to tell you. You follow the Sabres.
Tickets with them, and I took them against Carolina the other night in Buffalo. Sabres got the win in that game 4-2. I'm coming right back to taking them again. Like, I know now Carolina, maybe they didn't have their best, most laser-focused effort the other night. Maybe here they will, playing the same team that beat them the other night. Now they get them at home down in Carolina here. But don't underestimate the Sabres and the will they're playing with, the team game. They're getting some saves now from Anderson and Tokarski, Tuck, Thompson, and Skinner. You know, that top line's been outstanding for them consistently. Casey Mittelstadt starting to step up offensively for them, too. They're getting some depth contributions, Okpozo as well. I like the way Buffalo's playing right now. I ain't betting. I'm not laying minus 360 against this team. I don't care that it's Carolina. I don't care that it's Carolina in revenge. This is just too big of a price.
You got Buffalo plus a goal and a half, plus money, plus 106. All right,
yeah,
the Toronto.
If you want to play it more cautious, go that route. That's a good way to go.
Yeah. Well, it's plus money. And even at that price, I'd be getting 2.5, probably wouldn't be that much. Probably like 140 or something. 135, 140. I'll take a look at a second. But the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Dallas Stars. So Toronto's interesting road journey continues. They go into Tampa. We were talking about teams that, you know, going to play each other. So the Leafs spent a couple of days in the state of Florida, and it's all, they're loving it. Like their fans and everybody. Austin Matthews gets the hat trick. They beat the Lightning. It's all great. Hey, we're playing the Lightning. No one's scared of the Lightning. Look what we just did to these guys. Then the next night, they're playing the Florida Panthers, and they're rolling, and they're up 5-1, and you know, Twitter's blowing up. NHL fans are like, wow, look at what the Leafs are doing here, man. Maybe the Leafs are for real. And then, boom, the bad goal. I would have stopped that second goal there, the slap shot from the blue line. That was pathetic. And then it started the comeback. So the Leafs are pretty schizophrenic, actually. So I would imagine they respond here, Babano, after blowing the lead here. I think they bounce back and respond. We've only got 30 seconds, but what do you think?
I think they do, too, and I think they're still better than Dallas. Now, this game means everything to Dallas. Dallas is hanging on for dear life to number 2 wild card in the West, the last spot, 1 point ahead of Vegas. They need these games badly, but as I'll say to everyone at this time of year, and I say it every year at this time of year, must win doesn't equal will win. I still think Toronto's a better team, and I think they'll be looking for redemption after coughing it up against Florida. So I would only look to the Leafs there.
All right, we'll wrap up with a panel on the other side in a couple of moments here. The Late Night Anchor Man's for Class continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team. Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
Late Night Anger Match for Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Benzema becomes the fourth player ever to score 80-plus Champion League goals. Badass. We'll get to that a little bit later on. King Kareem. All right, so Ian Cameron kicking with us right now. I'm getting all confused here, too. I've got Babano. I've got different, like, now with FanDuel, there's different odds boost everywhere and stuff. So we're trying to be, like, on a TV show, we're pretty, hey, let's, so for those of you in this market and those of you here, now I've got it open in all different places, and there's different boosts everywhere. But talking NHL hockey with Babano, the last game on the board we were just talking about there was the Leafs. So you agree, Babano, it seems like a bounce-back spot for the Leafs. As you see all the time, if just because a team needs to win at this time of the year, there's a reason they need to win at this time of the year, because they're inconsistent, right? If they're still battling and they're still in a panic to get to the playoffs, it means they're not a great team. They're okay. And you see it in all sports. The Leafs have been dialed in, kind of locked in. They know who they're playing. They're playing Tampa Bay. It is what it is. But they just score so many goals. And Austin Matthews has been a prolific goal scorer, Babano. Any props for you in this game between the Leafs and the Stars tomorrow night you're going to be looking at? Any, like, yeah, you got to play this prop?
Yeah, for Dallas, it's certainly – Roope Hintz has really come along strong. Sagan's actually had a good run, and if Jason Robertson's never a bad idea. For Toronto, I think Austin Matthews, he got actually held off the score sheet against Florida after that hat trick that he had against Tampa Bay, so you can't go wrong. Look, I'm not going to overcomplicate it with Toronto. Matthews and Marner, you know, those two guys have been just terrific. They've been finding the back of the net. Even Tavares is starting to get it going a little bit. So if you want to take a shot with John Tavares to score, I wouldn't hate that either.
All right, so overnight NBA basketball. Game time decisions, his favorite team, the Orlando Magic. I should say Cam's favorite team, the Orlando Magic. Getting 13.5 against the Charlotte Hornets. A lot of points. Total 228.5. Boston Celtics +6 at Milwaukee. Total 227. And we should caution. Tough to, like, make picks. I'm just sort of putting it out here for everybody right now. In the NBA, you don't know who's playing an hour before the game, let alone 23 hours before the game. But the Raptors will play everybody. We know that. And so will the Sixers, besides Tybull. So that's the story of the day with the Sixers. Matisse Tybull is unvaccinated, and he will not be able to play in a playoff series if the Philadelphia 76ers play against the Toronto Raptors. Well, at least he wouldn't be able to play in on the road. And because he didn't travel with the team. And earlier in the year, there's been a lot of guys that didn't go. And maybe because they weren't vaxxed, they just said, oh, we're leaving them behind, no load management and stuff. But now it's getting real. The games count, and it's out. Like, basically, yeah, he's ineligible. He's not playing. So he would be out in a playoff series. Doesn't help them, but nevertheless, I don't know. It's not Embiid. It's not Harden, et cetera. But the Raptors are 1.5-point favorites. Money line's -120. Total's 217.5. You got the Spurs, who played themselves into the playoffs right now. The Spurs +8.5 against the T-Wolves. Lakers now playing for absolutely nothing. Not that it mattered before when they were trying. Lakers are getting 12.5 against the Warriors. And Memphis and Denver. Denver Nuggets -3 tomorrow, Babano. As I said, I won't hold you any picks here because of the roster unknowns all the time. But what do you think about the overnight lines?
Well, to Philadelphia, Toronto, I mean, those are two teams kind of going in opposite directions right now. I haven't liked Philly's game for a long time right now. We saw them lose to Detroit just recently, the Pistons. Things just aren't going well at the moment for them. And this could be a first-round playoff preview, very possibly, because as of right now, that would be a first-round matchup. Now, Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly, they're all neck and neck in the East, so things could change a little bit in between now and Sunday when the regular season ends. But it still could be a playoff preview. I'd look at the Raptors there. Boston on a back-to-back. I know they played Chicago tonight, and I cashed with Boston. I'm not really ready to.
They could.
I'm worried about that. If not, I'd be interested in Boston again, because I've been taking them every single game, and they have been finding
ways to get
it done.
You know what the problem is, though, Babano? Like, I'm just saying, like, because we see it in the NBA a lot at the end. So we'd say, well, no, why would they roll over? They're two games. They're half game up on Milwaukee right now and stuff. It's like, I don't know. Maybe they like the matchup better, dropping down a spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they'd say, you know what? We don't like point blank. Look, hypothetically, Babano, Boston are a 2 seed right now. Let's say, all right, let's keep winning and battle, and we'll stay the same. We're a 2 seed. Hey, look at this. We're playing the Brooklyn Nets, who are the 7 seed. That's not, you know, I don't know, maybe they think, maybe they think, okay, we'll play Brooklyn, but I don't think they're thinking, oh, that's amazing. I think, you know, look at, dude, you could play sixes of the Chicago Bulls, 6-3.
Yep.
Would you rather play the Bulls or the Nets? I'll play the Bulls, thank you. Like, the Celtics could be better off losing this game, bro.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
You'd want
That's what I'm
Chicago,
saying. The Celtics could roll over, guys. Like, you got to really look at the standings and then figure out what makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah. Yeah, they could take a powder tomorrow night, so keep an eye on that. You know what that means. You probably wouldn't see Brown playing. You probably wouldn't see Tatum playing. You may not see Smart playing. So
yeah, you don't want to get those guys hurt either if you're them, right? You don't want to get those guys hurt playing the playoffs.
You don't. So keep an eye on these roster machinations that you're going to see here the next four nights as the NBA regular season concludes.
But we know the Raptors and Sixers game. We know the Raptors and Sixers are both bringing it tomorrow. The Raptors bring it every night, and the Sixers aren't bringing it every night, but they're trying. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they are.
No, you'll get both teams showing up there. Yeah.
Yeah, because Philadelphia don't want to play Toronto in the playoffs. Like, Philadelphia have bad experiences with Toronto before. One of their players suddenly, you know, a contributor can't play. And a lot of teams don't want to deal with the Raptors, except if I'm the Bucks, I wouldn't care about the Raptors. I'd be like, yeah, whatever. I'll play the Raptors if I'm the Bucks. Anyone could still play anybody here, but hard not to like the Raps here, Babano, the way they've been playing recently. They're on a roll.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I like Toronto there. Like I said, we'll see what the status is for the Celtic starting lineup tomorrow night, but I was interested in them. I will be on Memphis for sure, getting points against Denver. I'll just take that team getting points right now with the way they're playing. And I don't even mind that now Dylan Brooks has been out the last few games. What this team's been able to overcome without, obviously, Morant for a long period of time. Dylan Brooks missed the last couple of games, and yet they're still finding ways to win. Beat Golden State, beat Milwaukee, beat Phoenix. Probably should have beat Utah the other night, but they lost in overtime by 6. They've just been a point spread covering machine right now, this Memphis team, and getting points against Denver. Denver, I didn't like what I saw from them last game, 116-97. Sure, maybe they want to step up, play better here, but getting points, Memphis, that's not something I'm likely to pass up.
I don't know. Memphis are like, I don't know how these guys do it. Like you said, without Dylan Brooks is one thing, but without Ja Morant, I think it's 20-2 now without Morant on the season. 20-2. They're 11-11.
I never truly appreciated how well Dylan Brooks was playing until I saw him in person in that game against San Antonio, where he had 21 points and he was just making big shots and getting deflections, getting the active hands, doing all of that stuff. He has been really good for them.
You're not a daily prop player. That's why. Come on, man. Brooks has been on our rotation for all. Brooks was good. Well, Brooks is from Toronto, number one. But like Brooks, Brooks was a badass with the Ducks. That's where he really went off. Yeah. He was good with the Ducks, man. In the tournament, they went on that nice that deep run. Chris Boucher was on the team actually. Chris Boucher, who's on the Raptors, was on the same Duck team. And if you guys recall, they were playing really well. I think they made it to the Elite Eight. Not quite the Final Four. I think they made it to the Elite Eight. And Boucher got hurt in the game, like pretty severely. It hurt his draft stock and stuff. Like Boucher went down, and he went late in the draft after, I think, the Golden State, or he had late second round, or he wasn't even drafted, I think, or whatever, and he ended up with the Raptors after. But that was a good Ducks team. It was Chris Boucher and Dylan Brooks were the stars of that team. But, yeah, Memphis are badass, man. But I tell you, so are Denver, man. Nikola Jokic, man. This guy, he's MVP candidate for a reason, but man, this guy's amazing.
He is, and I think he probably should win it. I mean, I find it kind of silly. We're talking about Embiid versus, like, Embiid's had a great year. I don't want to totally take it away from him, but I think I would give it to Jokic right now, quite honestly.
I'd give it to Giannis, but personally, I gave it to Giannis. Jokic won last year, or just give it to Embiid to shut him up. I don't know. I think, to be honest,
it matters to him with all his comments.
Yes, yes. No, it does. It does. Like, it's the one thing. There's no
doubt. Joel Embiid, how about win some playoff series, win some championships?
Oh, he wants that too. He wants that too. But I've said that before, Babano. People are like, don't get it. Like, when I've told them that, like, about, like, making the All-Star team and All-Star and MVPs, they care, bro. Like, it's money to them. It's legacy. It's money. Like, it's everything. It's prestige. Yeah. Like, they really do. Like, he wants it. And honestly, I think it's refreshing, Babano. You know what I mean? That a lot of guys would say, oh, you know what? I just want to win. And, you know, and really behind the scenes, people are like, this guy's full of it, bro. All he thinks about is winning the MVP. I like that Embiid's honest about it. Yeah. He said, yeah, I think I'm the most valuable player. Yeah, I think I should win. But what did he say? He said the other day, guys, he goes, but he didn't say it jokingly. He goes, I don't know, man. He goes, if you guys don't vote for me, like there was a bunch of media there. He goes, if you guys don't vote for me, you just must hate me or something. And someone said, well, we don't hate you, Joel. And he said, oh, no, you must just hate me, like, because I don't know what more I could do. Right? And yeah, exactly. And then I saw, I think it was Richard Jefferson, some other guys were ripping him after. They were like, dude, you're coming across desperate now for this thing. Like, you know what I mean? Just go out there, play your game, and let things fall into place. I don't know, but man, the MVP's stupid, though, in the NBA. Like, who's really the MVP? Like, I don't know. Is it the best stat? Is it the best this? Is it the most valuable guy on the team? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Most impactful, valuable to their team, and contribution to the overall season. I mean, there's so many different ways you could weight the grading of it.
Yeah, and then also they'll be like, well, we're not giving it to Giannis because, well, he won the NBA title last year. So, you know what I mean? Like, they used to do this with Belichick and Brady and stuff. Right? Like, wow, they win the Super Bowl, so we don't need to give him Coach of the Year. He already wins a bunch of Super Bowls. Right? They'll give the Coach of the Year to some new stiff that goes 9-7, Babano. You know what I mean? Not the guy, like, look at Scotty Bowman. Greatest coach of all time in any sport, I think. Scotty Bowman. How many times Scotty Bowman won Coach of the Year? I don't think he did. I don't think he did, ever. I'm telling you, I don't think he ever won Coach of the Year. He won, like, 11 cups. Phil Jackson didn't win Coach of the Year. You know what I mean? Like, but they, like,
we're talking about immortal head coaches in their sport.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying that these awards are kind of dumb. But, you know, if you bet on them, I don't mind talking about them and betting on them and stuff like that. But they're a weird thing. But we'll get into this with Cohen later, actually. But I do think Austin Matthews is going to win the Hart, Babano. How do you not give it to this guy now?
I think it's pretty much impossible. With 54-goal season, he's probably going to hit 60. You know, take him off the Leafs this year. Where are they?
Yeah, you can make an argument. Exactly. Like, he's an impactful. It's all about impact. All right, we'll wrap up a battle on the other side. Bring it!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class. Thanks, Dean Cameron. Get Babano out of here in a minute. Just in a chat, Babano. Goldster actually asked about Devin Booker. What's Devin Booker's odds for most valuable player? And I said, it's 80-1. And Devin Booker deserves, like, more respect than 80-1. There's no disputing it. But I was just saying, I said to people in the chat quickly, and I'll finish this thought, and it's something to think about why it drives them, though, too. People don't like him. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't pretend to know all the NBA gossip and all this type of stuff. I know some of it, you know what I mean? But I don't, you know, I'm not in that circle. I'm not in the Kardashian circle, like, literally and figuratively. But players don't like him. They don't like him. Look at after games and stuff. Like, guys ain't going up to him and hugging him and stuff. NBA players did not vote for this guy the last 2 years to make the All-Star team. The players vote. Like, really? Like, you guys don't even think he's an All-Star? Like, is it personal now? Or, like, you're like, no. Like, he was coach's choice, right? Like, he's not a popular guy. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. Like, basically, I've heard it's just they think he's arrogant. And it's the stuff with girls on, you know what I mean? He's in a little circle, love feuds and stuff like that with people. And the Kardashians and these other girls. But I think it drives him, and that's why he wants to win a championship so much. You go, wow, you don't have to respect me. You love me. I got a ring now. You don't. Because I think Devin Booker is a badass, Babano. Phoenix are a play-on team, I'll tell you that, in the playoffs.
good luck beating them in the West.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it all matters who they play in the East after. Great job, Abano. Thank you, man.
All right, Gabe. Always good. Have a great night.
Thank you. Enjoy some soup. See you.